would like to read for you, beginning with Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, as we continue our series on the book of Ruth, and particularly the subject, Ruth and the coming Redeemer. We'll begin reading at verse 1, and I'm reading from the ESV Bible translation. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I'm a foreigner?" Let's pray. Father, guide us through your word, and by it may we find food to live. For you have declared that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We trust you, Lord, for our spiritual sustenance, food that we may live and grow. Open our eyes that we might see, open our hearts that we might receive. And for this we give you thanks, for we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Just as a note or as a refresher, up until this point, Naomi had purposed in her heart that she would return to the land of Judah, where she was from, having heard that God had smiled upon the people of Judah, smiled upon that land, and once again there was grain or food sufficient to feed that population, and there was no more famine. She had encouraged her two daughters-in-law that they should return back to Moab, go back to their people, stay here, and lodge among your own people, rather than go with me back to the land of Judah, since Judah is not your home. Ruth heard the plea from Naomi to go back to her land, her people, seeing they were already in her country. It was a convenient choice to stay. It would have been a comfortable place for Ruth to stay, seeing that this was the land of her people. She was acquainted with the knowledge and their customs, and it would have been far more convenient for her to stay in Moab rather than to take this long, difficult journey to Judah. It wasn't a convenient trip. There was food in Moab, But to go to Judah, to a land that she's not familiar with, live among a people with whom she did not know, and had no way of knowing whether she would be accepted or not among them, would certainly be an act of faith for Ruth. Naomi seems to pressure Ruth to not follow her, but to go back to her country. And she did this for a good reason and in good conscience, although ultimately, spiritually, we know that it was not the right decision for Ruth to make to stay in Moab. But there was something in Ruth that she couldn't resist what appeared to be the call of God upon her life. She couldn't remain in Moab. She couldn't stay. She had to change. God must have shown her a new life and lifted the scales from her eyes, that she saw a different future, one full of promise, the promise of Naomi's God. Ruth couldn't resist that call on her life. Moab had lost its appeal. The places she used to go in Moab, the people she used to associate with, it all lost its appeal. God had set Judah and God's people on her heart. The pressure from Naomi to stay in Moab rather than following her to the land of Judah, it seemingly is a test of Ruth's will and serves as a confirmation of Ruth's conversion to Naomi's God. Ruth says in verse 16 of chapter 1, as we remember, "Don't urge me to leave you or return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." Ruth wants to be a fellow Judahite. This verse 16 is a confession or a testimony of Ruth, a confession that she's had a change of heart, a change of mind. She wants to follow Naomi, but more importantly, she wants to follow Naomi's God. Ruth's statement says she desires to have a relationship with Naomi beyond being her daughter-in-law. Ruth knows she's being discipled by Naomi, and she wanted more. She couldn't get enough. She wanted to know more where these wonderful virtues that Naomi possessed came from. She wanted to know Naomi's people and Naomi's country. And more importantly, she wanted to know Naomi's God. It's interesting that at the very same time that Naomi is feeling that God has abandoned her, God is clearly using her to draw Ruth to himself. Something about Naomi's life, something about her character, and perhaps her commitment to her religious and spiritual heritage, something about the beauty of a chaste life, a woman who was kind and exuded the kind of character that Ruth wanted to emulate, that would not allow Ruth to part with her company. What an example of the fragrant life of a true worshiper of God. Ruth's loyalty is not only admirable, but it's also a reflection of the loyalty that God shows to his people, the people of God. In our story in the book of Ruth, this is where tragedy intersects at grace. Verse 17, we read, "Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried." This is Ruth's continuation of Ruth's testimony or confession. "So may Yahweh do to me and even more, unless death separates you and me." It's a covenant that Ruth is making with Naomi, and it's reminiscent of the covenant or the promise that God gives unto us that lasts forever. I will never leave you or forsake you. David said in his wonderful 23rd Psalm that grace and mercy would follow him all the days of his life. Ruth's commitment to Naomi, to her people and to her God, is a commitment that will last until the grave, which is the longest and furthest that our human commitments can take us. Ruth desperately wants to affiliate with everything important to Naomi, and her commitment to love and to be loyal wasn't temporary. Ruth's loyalty is not only admirable, but it is also an attribute of God on display. That attribute is called hesed in the Hebrew, loving kindness or the faithfulness of God. Ruth's commitment is one until death. Verse 18, when Ruth saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. And rightly so. There was a stamp on Ruth's heart. There was a call upon her life. There was a pull on her spirit. She wouldn't be deterred by any words from Naomi. But we must wonder what caused Ruth to leave her home country where her family lived and stay with her mother-in-law, Naomi, who, by her own admission, had nothing. Why didn't Ruth stay in Moab like her sister-in-law Orpah did? What causes us to make certain decisions we're faced with? What originates or causes our urges or sparks our curiosities? It should be stated that the marriage of Ruth, the Moabite woman, and the son of Elimelech, a Jew, and a son of Naomi, of course, who was also a Jewess, was in violation of the law, according to Deuteronomy chapter 7. What constitutes the violation is the fact that the Moabites served idol gods and were not believers or worshipers of Yahweh. So the prohibition was against marrying women whose nations worshipped gods other than Yahweh. God's intent was for his people to remain loyal to him as he was loyal to them. In chapter 2, verse 2, as we continue in our story, it reads as follows, and Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after someone in whose eyes I may find favor. The story continues in chapter 2 with the two women arriving in Bethlehem of Judah at harvest time, and Ruth's desire to go into the field and glean among the ears of grain, and to do so specifically for a person in whose eyes she may find favor. Arriving in Bethlehem of Judah at harvest time, it's wonderful to appreciate God's timing. Arriving at harvest time for two hungry women is a phenomenal display of God's providence. And Ruth is asking Naomi if she could glean in the harvest fields for food, which was the common way that the poor or the less fortunate were able to eat. Once there, Ruth was gleaning in the field and happened to glean in the portion of the land that belonged to Naomi's wealthy relative, Boaz. When Boaz and Ruth met one another while at work, Boaz asked his servant, to whom does this young woman belong? In verse 5. The servant told Boaz the full truth that Ruth was not a Hebrew, but she is a Moabite woman who returned to Bethlehem with Naomi. Hearing the story that this is a foreigner, a non-Jew, one who did not become or is a part of the Jewish family. But having heard the full details of who Ruth was, there was nothing that the servant told Boaz that caused him to reject or turn away Ruth. As a matter of fact, he then told Ruth to no longer glean in another field, but stay close with my young women. Now we see Boaz taking on a characteristic of God, and that is protection. It's interesting that Boaz would call Ruth later on daughter, which means he took on a fatherly role. And isn't that what God is to us? God, our Father, our provider, and our protector. Not only will you stay close to the women where you'll be protected, but when Ruth would get thirsty, she should, quote unquote, go to the containers and drink from where the servants have drawn. Boaz would provide Ruth's every need, food and drink. She was already considered in Boaz's mind and heart to be a part of the company of God's people. For Ruth to abide with the other young women would be for her safety. And then also help yourself to the food growing in the fields and to be able to drink the water his servants provided when she was thirsty would meet her physical needs. And here is a reflection of the work of the Holy Spirit providing for us and protecting us, providing fellowship and encouragement while at the same time assimilating us into the company of God's people. Even though Ruth was a foreigner, Boaz showed her no disrespect, no prejudice, nor did he treat her as an outcast, but went out of his way to show Ruth great hospitality. Oh, this is reminiscent of the work of Christ our Savior. Isn't this a wonderful picture of the hospitality of Almighty God, who positioned himself as Elimelech positioned himself to be near Ruth? Almighty God positions himself so we could find him and withheld nothing good from us. As Ruth, quote unquote, found Elimelech, then through the hospitality of the Holy Spirit, invited us to fellowship with him. Ruth no more found Boaz than we found the Lord. Ruth couldn't help but find Boaz because he placed himself in the same field, in the same row she was working in the same path that she was in. And it was only a matter of time before they would run into each other. So their meeting was no accident, but divinely arranged. This is an example of the providential leading of the Lord's Spirit within the normal flow and circumstances of Ruth's life. And finally, verse 10 says, she fell on her face and bowed down to the ground and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes by recognizing me? For I am a foreigner. Ruth is amazed and humbled and grateful that she, a foreigner outside of the economy of Israel, not a child of the promises of God, not a recipient of God's vow of love and fidelity and protection or God's provision. She's looked on with love and affirmed her value as a person and the love and commitment she has shown towards her mother-in-law, Naomi. How humbling it is. How humbling is the kindness of God who knows our name, knows our condition, knows everyone who is one of his as well as those who are not his. God's wonderful provision for Ruth, his kindness to her before she was officially counted among the people of God. says something about God's kindness to us all the days of our life, even before we confessed his name. God protected us. God sheltered us. God provided for us, met every one of our needs, even though we were not named among the people of God. How wonderful and how gracious our God is. Amen.